2011 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. And with that, Jay, can you do the invocation?
Sure. Bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, give you thanks and praise for allowing us to congregate here tonight and have this meeting. We just ask you to be with each and every one of us and give us the guidance that we need to carry forth the decisions that we need to make. He asks us to be with each and every one of us as we travel home tonight and bring us home safely. These things we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Carol, can we have roll call, please?
Mr. Spartan?
Here.
Mrs. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Moser?
Here.
Mrs. Ruth Laird?
Here.
Mr. Buckowitz?
Here.
Mrs. Woodson is excused. We have a forum.
Can we have a, somebody had a chance to review the minutes from last month's meeting? And we have a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make the motion.
A motion from Jay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Donald seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
I've got a note on here to swear in officers. Chip, what is that?
So you swear affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Let the record reflect Chip Rich, Dan Baker, Dwayne Thomas, Jim Vaux, and Lorraine Kennedy took the vote, or took the oath.
Okay, before we get started tonight, if anybody in the audience has a cell phone, if you could please turn it off for the duration of the meeting so we don't have any interruptions. And then, Chip, if you have somebody that's represented here, can we start with them, please?
Yes, sir. If it pleases the board, I'd start with my opening for the record. Good evening, board members. Chip Rich, City of Ocala, duly appointed code enforcement manager, certified by the Florida State Association of Code Enforcement, completed all four levels of training. Have extensive law enforcement experience. I've been code enforcement manager here for over 3 years. And I'll be presenting your cases this evening. If it pleases the board, we do have some representation. And in accordance with State Statute 489 and City Ordinance 22-151, we would proceed with the Contractors Board of Examiners and Appeals. That's another hat that this board has been delegated by City Council. We have one case to present this evening. Everybody's ready to go on that. So if you turn to page 5 at the bottom of your agenda, we could proceed there. This is case COM 11-1900, the City of Ocala versus Central State Enterprises, Inc., 8500 Northwest 43rd Lane, Ocala, Florida. Chad Baxley, Lance Baxley, and Larry E. Ballard. A location within the City of Ocala at 2135 Southwest 19th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Parcel ID is 23721-00503. Legal services obtained on 8-4-2011 for the notice of violation and notice of hearing. And we posted the property on 8-7-2011 for the notice of hearing and the notice of violation. As additional correspondence, we'll be entering invoices, SunBiz information, a complaint from the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, contract for service, and restitution invoices. License required has already been completed. It was BLD 10-1372. And summary of findings are that I received this complaint from the building official, Ron Rowe, who is present and prepared to testify this evening, who had received written complaint from the Department of Business and Professional Regulation with a demand for action. Investigation reveals that Central State Enterprises, represented by Larry Ballard, entered into a contract to build out a professional space for Dr. Rothstein Medical Offices at the above location. Further investigation revealed that upon completion of the construction in November 2010 and issuance of the CO by the building official, contractor Ballard failed to pay all of the subcontractors, causing one to file a claim of lien for $9,000 and two others to file threats of claims of lien. Contractor Ballard paid off the first claim of lien, however, failed to pay the remaining two, one lien for $1,900 to DCI Door Central, and the second for $7,000 to Reedy Flooring America. Upon completing, being contacted by the billing official, respondent Ballard agreed to pay both subcontractors within 3 weeks, which was able to be accomplished as of 8/10/2011. If you refer to your presentation, I've included, of course, our first copy of the work, the cover sheet. I have a copy there of the letter from the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. We've also included copies of the contract, the complaint as issued by the victim in this case, Department of Corporations information on the business. I've included a couple photographs, a copy of the contract for service, a copy of the building permit and the processes that all went through. And finally, I've got a couple copies, one copy of a photograph of the location at the end of your presentation, and a copy of our posting. At this time, the city would call the building official, Ron Rowe.
Right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Just briefly explain your name, title, and what you do for the city.
Ron Rowe, Chief Building Official for the City of Ocala.
And you received this complaint from the Department of Business and Professional Regulation?
That is correct.
On July?
Approximately July 25th.
Something you brought to my attention, correct?
Correct.
What is the Department of Building and Professional Regulation requesting that you do?
They are requesting that we hold this hearing and make sure that the outstanding liens or monies due are paid.
And that's been accomplished at this point?
That all fees, all monies due have been paid at this time.
Okay. And did you have any prior knowledge to any of this prior
no.
to being notified by Department of Business Professional?
Approximately 5 days before I received the packet, DBVR did call me to let me know that this was coming our way.
It's my understanding because we have a board, this is the venue that it would go to because he's licensed by the city.
That is correct.
Okay. Does Department of Business Professional Regulation require action on your part?
The action is solely upon the city.
Okay. So have you taken some action?
I have come up with a
plan of action that's included in our staff recommendation.
That is correct.
Okay. Submit the witness to. Any questions that you may have?
I had a question. You said that all monies have been paid to, you know,
to all the vendors and contractors. There is no outstanding bills at this time for this project that I'm aware of.
So even the subcontractors that are noted in the complaint, those have been paid?
I'm sorry?
Even the subcontractors noted in the complaint have been paid?
Yes, sir.
As of yesterday.
Ronnie, what part of the recommendation did you recommend for the city?
For a penalty phase?
Yes.
This is Mr. Ballard's first offense. Mr. Ballard is a professional contractor in my eye. He always submits the correct documents that are needed for permitting. He always gets the correct permits, and he always calls for the required inspections. Since this is Mr. Ballard's first offense inside the city limits, I'm recommending a $500 fine and a letter of reprimand.
And do we have some kind of guideline that recommends the action that you're taking?
It is by city ordinance and also state.
State law. So $500, between $500 and $5,000 is the listed fine.
That is correct.
So if it pleases the board, I would read the staff recommendation in the record now, and then I believe Mr. Ballard is here to speak as well.
Go ahead and read the staff recommendation.
Staff recommendation would be fine respond guilty of violation of code section 22151. Order to one, the building official to issue a letter of reprimand to the respondent and the respondent's company. Two, respondent to provide payment and restitution to any unpaid subcontractors and submit proof of payment restitution to the building official. and three, responded to pay a fine in the amount of $500 for the first offense, and four, pay the administrative cost of prosecution of the case as assessed all within 30 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day and suspension of all permitting privileges within the city of Ocala and notification to other reciprocal building departments. All costs and fines assessed as a lien after 90 days of non-payment refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Okay, is there a representative here for Mr. Ballard? Please be sworn in, sir.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
State your name and address for the record.
Larry Ballard, 8500 Northwest 43rd Lane.
Thank you.
This is your opportunity, sir, to present your case as to why you would you agree with the staff recommendation for the fine, or if you have a request other than to accept that?
No, I believe I agree with what Ronnie come up with.
Okay. All right, that's all we need.
That makes it easy. Your case rested, Chip?
City's rested.
I move to accept staff recommendation.
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So pass unanimous. Do you understand the items in the staff recommendation? Okay. All right, next case.
So please, the city, moving on in the agenda, we have additional representation this evening here. COM 11-1706, Margaret Crabtree. COM 11-1706. This is a case we'll be proceeding this evening as a repeat violator. It's a case involving Officer Dan Baker, the City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division, the City of Ocala versus Margaret Crabtree, 2607 Northeast 16th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. The case location is within the city limits at 728 Northeast 8th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violations of Section 82-151, the Standard Housing Code adopted for building, electrical, and plumbing. Section 82-183, unsafe electrical conditions and authority to discontinue electrical service. And Section 122-583, permitted principal uses. The parcel ID is 28260180002. Legal service was obtained 7/12/2011 for the NOV and the NOH. We post the property on June of this year for the NOV and July 1st, 2011 for the notice of hearing. For additional correspondence, we've included copies of the previous cases, any additional notes by Dan Baker. Any licenses required would be a general contractor and permits would be required for all work. I have included in your presentation on page 3 previous cases involving this respondent. The one highlighted in yellow is the current case. On page 5, I've included a copy of the repeat violator clause. On page 7, I've included a copy of this board's previous order to this respondent. On page, this looks like page 9, I've included the affidavit of compliance qualifying this case as a repeat violator. At the end of your presentation, I've included photographs regarding this case. We've also included in your presentation receipts for monies accepted at the property, and the summary findings are as follows. Officer Dan Baker responded to this location due to tenant's complaint, and upon arrival observed numerous violations of building, plumbing, and electrical code. Officer Baker spoke with the complainant, who advised the residence is being used as a boarding house and that she collects all the rents and forwards them to the respondent. These facts confirmed all investigative and previous case information that Officer Baker has been working to collect for the last 3 years. Where the respondent had previously been found guilty by the CEB for operating a boarding house in violation of the code. Officer Baker collected copies of the receipt information and attached it to the case file. Officer Baker called for an inspection by the building official and Ocala Electric Utility, which resulted in all utilities being removed for the residents and the tenants being removed. The residence was deemed uninhabitable by the building official and closed until a general contractor could be hired and make all required repairs to bring the residents up to standard housing code regulations. All attempts by Officer Baker to have the respondent remedy these and other violations have been unsuccessful, and the violations remain. At this time, I'd call Officer Baker up to testify.
Dan Baker, City of Ocala.
Dan, you're a duly appointed code enforcement officer.
Yes. What I have here is the best way to describe this whole thing is a cancer. For 4 years now, I have been working on these properties around this particular area, trying to get rid of this boarding house problem that we have. I get it cleaned up. 6-7 months later, it comes back. I go get it cleaned up. 6-7 months later, it comes back. We came to the board on the previous case that we got the board order because the board determined the property owner to be in violation of operating a boarding house in a B1 zone, which is not a permitted use. When these two tenants asked me to come out as a result of the numerous standard housing code violations, that gave me authorized entry into the property and into the house to determine all of the violations that needed to be corrected, along with the 7 residents that were currently staying inside the home at the time. The house has been chopped up into little sectional individual rooms with different occupants in each room, each one of them paying a different amount of rent. Particular property currently had 2 leases, one to the couple that invited me in and one to another individual whose name is identified in my case history. I need the board's assistance in solving this problem when it comes down to the staff recommendation to make this go away. I need the property owner to understand she owns the property, she's responsible for what happens on the property, and the excuse of I don't know what was going on there is not working for me anymore. I have proof, I've got photographs, and I need your help.
Okay.
Question?
Inspector Baker, I have a few questions for you. I noticed you've included some paperwork in your case here. I'm referring to page 38 of the case file. Can you explain what this is?
This was a notice that the tenants that invited me into the home presented to me where they were in the process of being evicted. In our line of work, we get this a lot with standard housing code complaints. As soon as the eviction process begins, they call code enforcement because they want to retaliate to the property owner for all of the things that the owner should have fixed and didn't. Okay, but if so, you'll take note that this eviction notice is for $80.
So they claimed when you got there that this is what they received from the landlord?
That is correct.
Okay.
And they presented that to me and provided me with a copy.
And on page 39, is that?
That is their lease.
That's their
or
lease.
Their copy of their lease, as best as I can ascertain.
Okay. And then again here on page 40 is the end of that portion.
Right,
of
same page. Stuff. And then
we go to page 41?
That's going to be the second lease.
Okay.
For the second individual.
North Central Florida Housing Opportunities Program. Okay. And then on page 42.
This is just the information that the tenant that was
provides.
In charge of collecting all of the rent provided me as case documents.
Okay. Then you have a rental agreement here for another person?
No, that's actually the same person that was getting the assistance from 2 pages earlier.
Okay, that's on page 43. Page 44 is the rental agreement for Thomas Hauer.
Right, it's at different dates.
Okay.
That's page 2 of the same agreement.
Okay. We're coming to it here. Then you have this.
That's a third for the same individual.
Okay. On page 47, and you explain what's going on there?
No, I cannot. The only thing I can explain that is some form of record keeping that was being maintained by somebody that was collecting something, but it was presented to me and it went into the case as case documents.
Okay, and that was allegedly rents collected for being staying in the house?
Yes, and dates and fees, $110 here, $50 there, and $95 here, but who that was specifically assigned to, I don't know.
Okay, page 48, receipts.
These are different receipts for different individuals that stayed in the house at different timeframes. I only copied the ones that were actually legible with dates and addresses on them. That address specifically 428 Northeast 8th Avenue, because that's the case that we're talking about at this time.
Okay, but I noticed there's some for the other residents.
There are some for other residents. The property owner owns several properties in that general location that this particular individual, Paula Campbell, collected rent for, and they all came out of the same receipt book. But specifically, this case is for 428 Northeast 8th Avenue.
And have you had a case at 429 Northeast 7th?
Yes.
For the same thing?
Yes. Previously, but not to the board.
And then on page 50, you've got receipts for 731 Northeast 4th. You've had a case there
as
well?
That's another property that the property owner owns, but it has not come to the board.
Plus also for 428?
That's correct.
Okay. How many people did you discover were staying in this house when you were invited in by the...
There were seven different beds, seven different rooms. It was originally a three-bedroom house that had been converted and chopped up with three additional rooms put on the back end, probably 8x8, maybe 10x10 size, with beds and dressers in them that were being used for weekly rentals, I guess is the best way to describe that. Seven people total, names of the individuals and how much they were collected for or charged for rent are in the case documents.
Anything else you need to add here? Mm-hmm.
And the property owner is here.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
I have a
question. What does the code, I'd like to wonder if I could, what does the code allow for somebody to stay in the house?
The property is zoned B1. It's a light business, but as a single family dwelling, it has not been converted to commercial use. Therefore, it has to keep its resident status as a single family dwelling, not a commercial entity.
And how many non-related persons would be allowed to stay there?
The code allows under the definition, we'll make this simple, rooming and boarding house means a building or portion thereof having at most a kitchen and used for the purpose of providing meals for lodging, for pay or compensation of any kind to more than two people, other than members of a single family occupying such dwelling. This category shall not include a building defined as a transitional recovery facility, or a halfway house, or a community work release program. So basically, they're allowed to have two people unless they are all family related, and these individuals were not.
Okay.
That was my question.
Do you have to explain anything from the pictures here, or if they have a question?
If they have a question they can ask, I can kind of give them some. I also have the building official behind me. He was with me as well. He can attest to these violations.
Does the board have any questions for the city?
One more question. Did the respondent cooperate with you in the investigation, or has the respondent cooperated?
There were some things that the respondent did take care of. Initially on my case, there was an abandoned and derelict vehicle that has since been removed. The property was overgrown and has since been mowed. There was a refrigerator wide open in the backyard that some kid could have got into. It has also been removed. That's why some of the violations on the initial notice of violation have been corrected, and we're only going forward.
Councilor Baker, do you have any information or investigative leads that lead you to believe that the other three houses that you've been responsible for have been brought into compliance, or are you still working on
them? I would say that those are issues that need to be addressed at a later time.
One question on the abandoned or derelict vehicle. Are y'all going forth with that charge or not?
No, it's been
forth?
Removed. It's in compliance.
Okay. And how about the weeds accumulation of trash?
Been cut and clean.
So that you're not going against that one either?
No, sir.
Okay, so we're looking at the standard housing code, unsafe electrical conditions, and the permitted principal uses as the three major violations tonight, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Okay. Anybody else on the board have any questions for the city?
I have a question for Chip.
Yes, sir.
Chip, since the barber shop is right beside this.
Yes, sir.
Here, should I have any comment on this?
I think you would probably recuse yourself if you have independent information concerning this case.
Just excuse myself from this?
Well, just recuse yourself from voting.
That's a lawyer question.
You have conflict of interest. You have to recuse yourself.
Okay, I do.
You need to get with her. She'll give you a form.
All right, I filled it out.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, Ms. Crabtree, if you could come up and be sworn in, please.
I'm Margaret Crabtree.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? State your name and address for the record.
Margaret Crabtree, 2607 Northeast 16th Avenue.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead and address the board.
And Mr. Baker and I had gotten together, and he told me what he didn't like about what I was doing. I took care of it. I took care of all the places. They were all rented out to individual families. The one place in the duplex state was the same renter because he was there before and he applied to it the way it was supposed to be rented. The other properties were rented to families. That's what he wanted. And that property I rented to this couple because she had been a renter of mine before, and she was a good renter. She was paid her rent on time. Her place was clean, very friendly, very helpful, and I was pleased that she came and asked if she could rent that house. And I told her that it was only for family. And she said, well, my sister and my sister-in-law is coming from up north. And then Mr. Thomas, I don't remember what his last name is, asked them if he could stay. So I think she called code enforcement and asked if she could have Mr. Thomas, what's his name, Howard?
Howard.
Could stay. And I think she was told that she could have two people staying with her. And I told her, okay then, fine. This is all I know. She had a rental agreement with me. She was supposed to pay her own utilities like Mr. Baker wanted everybody to do that way. And I know there was a lot of company there sometime. I would say, what's all this company doing here? Don't you want privacy? And she said, oh, they're all friends of ours. But I had nothing to do with any other collecting of any other individual rents than the rent for that house. And all these other receipts that she was driving me totally into the ground. She was tearing the electric apart. We bought that house from George Albright Sr. And he had renters in that house when we bought it. And we went through that property, him and my husband and I. And we needed a lot of cleaning up, but he had it rented out like that. And so we just cleaned the floors up, painted the place, and rented it out. We did not know that there was anything wrong with renting it out the way it was. I didn't know you couldn't have a hot water heater outside. And we were not told if you buy this house, you have to upgrade it. So whatever happened after this, I've done what he said to do. I have done it, and I've worked hard on it. It's not been easy in that area, and you know that it's not been easy in that area. So I've been, when these people came from Unity House, they were crying. They were saying it was terrible conditions. Could you rent us a room or something? Like, it was at first. So I thought, well, okay. We had a two-bedroom duplex, and so we started renting it to one person, and they would take in the other person. But when Mr. Baker came and said, that's not the way you're allowed to do it, I stopped. And I don't know, it seems like that area I'm getting blamed for everything that's going wrong. I have told everybody to behave themselves. And I've gone after the police. Please, if there's drugs in there, can you go in there and get it out of there? They've said we can't go into the properties. We have no right to go in there. We said drug dealing. I said there's drug dealings out in the carport. Can you? I think I couldn't have done much better than, you know.
Ma'am, can I just say, if you've been in contact with Inspector Baker, he's told you that there have been additional people in the building and what the circumstances are?
That was the end. When I gave her notice, that's when she started this trouble.
Okay.
She tore up some electric, she tore stuff.
So it sounds like you have a bad renter. And,
I didn't think so.
And that
I
you
thought
need to make
they
a change.
Were wonderful people. I left them behind on rent so many times, and then they begged me. I said, you guys are going to have to go. I got to get my rent. They said, we're catching up. That $80 was...
Ma'am.
It was more old than that.
We're just talking about whether you're in violation of the electrical conditions as they currently stand.
It wasn't
stand.
My fault.
Nobody's saying it's your fault, okay? But... the way the building is right now, it appears to me anyway, that it's in violation. So we need to make corrections to that, okay?
Yeah, and I've already gotten all the instructions on how it's supposed to be done.
Okay.
And that's right, he told me how to get it done. And, you know, I mean, I don't want no trouble with anybody.
I understand.
Any trouble with anybody. I'm alone. My husband passed away. I don't need any problems.
Right, we understand.
I want to be the barber, be happy. I want Mr. Baker be happy. You know, I mean, I like to be coming there and have smiles instead of saying, there comes the old corrupt tree again. She's troublemaker.
Okay, one moment, please. The chair recognizes Daniel.
I would ask of the code enforcement officers how it's noted that this is a prior repeat violator. When's the prior violations?
I put them on the spreadsheet for you.
You didn't have the dates, though.
Yeah, there's
and
no dates.
After
well,
that,
we go
I've
by the case numbers.
I'm going to go on a limb here, say August, September, maybe October last year.
Yeah, I thought it was been fairly recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it's been fairly recent.
There's a
and
7, there's a 9, there's a 10.
Yeah,
there's,
it goes all the
okay.
way from ZCM 09
okay.
To ZCM or an 07 case, 11, 10, 9, basically in the last from 07 forward.
For the record, the individual that she's talking about, I did in fact speak with her on the phone. She did in fact call me. She did not ask me if this gentleman, Thomas Howard, could live with her. She asked if her nephew could stay with her in the house, and that was the instructions that I gave Paula Campbell when I spoke to her on the phone. I did not indicate by any means that an additional individual could go in there under another lease and pay rent. It was for her nephew, and it turns out that her nephew is the one that actually had the utilities turned on in his name, and now he no longer, at the time of the inspection, he doesn't live in the house anymore.
Okay.
So,
I think I've heard enough evidence.
Okay. All right.
Can I inquire just one question?
Go ahead, Chip.
Ms. Crabtree, so you have no idea of what's going on in these houses? You own 4 houses there?
Let's just talk about the one that we're...
3 houses? Yeah. Okay,
Chip.
In this house,
Chip.
How did all the rooms
get there? Those were there.
All
you
7
can
rooms?
Ask Mr. Albright. They were all there. That was a garage. That was in several rooms. There were 2 kitchens there. All these rooms were there.
With the wires all hanging down the walls and what have you?
I don't know that anymore.
I don't think it really matters how it got there or what it was before. The fact of the matter is it appears to
it
me that
now.
It's impermissible as the codes are right now.
Right. So I, you know, if I can't afford it, I don't know, I can fix it all.
Do you, Ms. Crabtree, do you have any questions of the city?
No, not right now.
Okay.
The city would reach that.
I've never done anything like this, so I'm sorry, but I'm not very...
It'll be okay, okay? Chip, you want to read the staff recommendation, please?
Staff recommendation, be fined respondent guilty of violating of code section 82-151, 82-183, and 122-583 as a repeat violator per chapter 162-04 of the state of Florida. under Code Section 122.583, and order to, one, obtain a general contractor to complete all repair work to bring the residents into compliance with the Standard Housing Code and Florida Building Codes. Two, stop all use of the property as a boarding house, remove all unauthorized tenants immediately, as prescribed by law, of course, and comply with all city codes regarding the use of the property as is currently zoned, with no specific time limits specified for the items number one and two, other than the removal of all unauthorized tenants. And three, pay the administrative cost of prosecution of the case as assessed within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
I'm not quite sure I understand. You obtain a general contractor to complete all repair work, but then you say below there's no specific timeline for item one, which that is item one.
Yes, sir.
And two.
So you're saying that
she can leave the house sit there, or she can get herself a general contractor to do the work. If general contractor's involved and they pull a permit, then they'll have the usual times. But we
okay.
can restrict her in the amount of time that she could take to get a general contractor.
So she can take 1 month, 1 year, or 10 years to get a general contractor?
The house is uninhabitable.
If the house is, the house is uninhabitable, okay. I got you. Okay.
So no one can stay in the house until it, the work
until it gets
done.
Prepared.
Okay. That makes sense. It gives her an out. You know, she doesn't have to do the repairs, but then
yeah,
she...
if she doesn't win the match.
Okay.
Well, then the so really the only thing that would be payable within 14 days is the administrative cost of $125.
No, sir. It would be the cost of prosecution.
How much is that?
It's going to vary. I didn't get a chance to discuss this with the board.
Well,
we've been informed that administrative costs are not a fixed cost. State law, Chapter 162, allows the city to collect the investigative costs. So we spoke about this a couple of years ago, but it's come back to us again that we have to collect investigative costs and not a fee.
Well, I think you have to have a cost amount for the, we just can't give you a carte blanche. I mean, at a hearing, you got to give us an amount,
well,
right, Mr. Gilligan?
Right,
I mean,
now we don't know the amount because we're not completed with the case. We'll still, depending on this board's decision, we do have a worksheet which I can provide you with that shows all of the steps that are involved in the prosecution of the case. But if we file a lien, that's going to be $18.75. If we have to file a subsequent lien, that would be another charge. So essentially, it's going to be open-ended. The certified mail would be charged. That's $4.75 per piece.
Right.
Well,
we
how
can't
is she supposed to pay it in 14
check.
Days if she doesn't know how much to pay?
When she comes in to pay, depending on the outcome of this, we will complete that worksheet and give her the amount.
I don't agree with that at all. You should be presenting that amount here at this meeting.
It's impossible to do so.
Well, you're going to have to estimate it then. And then we're going to have to agree to something because I can't give you a blank check. This lady, this woman doesn't have any idea what she's going to have to come in and pay. I don't agree with that at all.
That's where we are right now.
Mr. Gilligan, can you help us out in here? I mean, do you understand our argument? It just seems,
yeah,
doesn't.
Gotta have some evidence of the actual cost. And,
they presented no evidence of the cost.
I agree.
Okay.
I would recommend
that's
that
within
we.
Within this board's power to say what they would allow to authorize.
Well, we have no idea. I mean, we don't know.
I mean,
we don't know what you've done so far.
Charge.
Yeah. Well, you know.
We used to
do 125.
Be a little bit less, I would assume. In some cases, it's going to be a little bit more. I would rather adopt a resolution by city council that says this is what we charge. We've been told we cannot do that.
Well, we've been doing 125 for at least 2 years, right?
Yes, three.
Can we craft an order where we allow them to assess a administrative fine of up to $125, not to exceed?
The board's order. I think that that's what
we're doing. I think I'm okay with that.
We could fix it.
But
I don't know that I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm okay with her. If they can agree what they are, fine. If they don't agree, she's entitled to a hearing where they present evidence of the actual cost, and she
okay.
has the right to challenge.
That's what I thought. Okay.
That was, that
and that would mean she'd have to come back, though.
Well, I mean,
if it's a problem.
But are we talking about a fee of around $125? Are we talking about a fee that's going to rent?
My estimation is that, yes, generally, it's going to be considerably right around the area we've been charging. It's like $3.75 for each time the officer goes out there, an hour's time here and there by various people, copying of documents.
The last 3 years, we've been just doing $125, and we're not allowed to do that anymore.
And so have a lot of other cities, but what the information is that someone challenged the fact that an arbitrary price was being established when the law specifically states the cost of prosecution.
What percentage of your cost do you already know by the time you get here?
Well, we would have, for instance, we would have the number of inspections that have been completed to date. If the board made an order, we would be inclined to conduct an additional inspection. We know how much certified mail would have gone out up to date. But
what percentage as of a hearing would you know has already been spent?
I would say probably 80, 90.
We used to be able to do the 125.
I think I'd present what we have to date.
What you have to date and get that awarded, and then have the board as your proposed order that it's subject to amendment upon a subsequent hearing. If you choose, you want to come back for $18, then you can do it.
I'm inclined to do that.
I would be.
As far as we're concerned, we were fine with having an established fee and going.
I know, but we need to move on with this, and if this is.
If she agrees to the amount, I don't see it as.
If we put the language as up to, can we do that?
Well, I think that she needs to agree.
I think if you set
a price this evening and they agreed to that, then we'd go with that, and then we would come back at our next hearing with what we've got involved
up to
that point.
They can't set a price on which they have no evidence. That's the issue. So that she needs to either agree that they're reasonable and pay them, or she says if she disagrees, you're not entitled to charge them unless you bring her back to a hearing and you present evidence as to the amount. And we'll amend the order at that time.
No, that's just dropped it.
Okay, so let's.
Yeah, I'm not.
What's the chapter again?
Well, then that way we'd want to leave out number three. In
right,
the
order, right.
We'd want to leave out number three in the.
Right.
Because.
Yeah, I'm going to see if we can get us going down the street here.
On
staff recommendation, make a motion to follow the staff recommendation. With the exception of excluding item 3 on the payment of administrative cost of prosecution, all of the sections of the staff recommendation shall remain intact.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second the motion. Alton Brown.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passed unanimous. What it means is that the building is considered uninhabitable, so nobody can be in there at the moment until you get the violations corrected. And there's no time limit to get them fixed, electrical and the other violations, but you're not going to be able to have anybody live in that property until you do get them fixed. And then you're going to have to call code enforcement to come out and inspect, to re-inspect and certify that you have gotten the violations taken care of. All right.
You also may let her know that if she's brought back as a repeat violator on the boarding house issue, the fine is $500 per day.
Right. So just make sure that doesn't happen again. All right. Thank you. You're free to go. I wish I would have known about this administrative.
It did not come up at all last month.
Well, it's just, at least we would have had something done.
Yeah. I think you'll figure it out.
Could have come up with something.
We'll just do an investigative cost affidavit.
Yeah.
Cost affidavit will be included in your packet.
Yeah.
Right. Expended cost.
Yeah.
I don't know about.
I can't imagine that.
We'll come up with a better method.
But I can't imagine that you can get these guys to go out and do an inspection for $3.50.
Well, it's when they combine them up, if they've gone out there for 5 or 10 times, they start to add up. Yeah.
Hey, Chip, when you get finished with the inspectors at $3.50, can I use them?
Was it $3.50?
Yeah, I want to use them too. I mean,
well, wasn't $3.50, but we'll let it go at that.
Next case.
We do have representation here for an item under old business on non-compliance for COM 110567, Israel Vasquez, 1028 Northeast 20th Street. I do not have a petition here. I would submit that we have an affidavit of non-compliance in the case file for registration of the property, and that's all that we have a problem with at this time.
So what are you wanting us to do?
I guess we're going to listen to what the attorney has to say, and we'll make a decision based upon that.
Good evening.
That's COM 110567, Israel Vasquez. The address is 1028 Northeast 20th Street.
Right there.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Kevin Rudin. I'm here on behalf of Central Mortgage Company. My understanding is the same as the officers, that the only thing left to do is to register the property. We don't have a problem doing that. It's just a matter of getting the proper paperwork to my client.
Okay. Can we do that within, 14 days?
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Are those forms available online?
Chip. He had a question about the form, the registration forms.
Okay. Just at the city's website.
He said he could do it within 14 days. Is that acceptable for the city? Okay. Do we need to make a motion for anything?
What would we make a motion for?
Well, you're going to find him you're not going to find him when we get to the consent agenda.
So we're just going to drop him from the consent agenda.
Drop him out of there.
Okay.
As long as it's paid within 14 days or...
Well, I think they'll have to bring it back.
Or come back.
Yeah.
All right. So as long as it's taken care of within the next 14 days, and then it won't come back.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're essentially extending your previous order.
Right. Okay. And we don't need to do that with a motion.
I think you do.
Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay. I'll move.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion by Jay, second by Donald. The case COM 110567. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous. Have a nice evening.
We have additional representation here this evening. Dan, you want me to go there now, right?
Yeah.
On page 2 of your agenda, COM 111667, City of Ocala, Officer Lorraine Kennedy versus Roses Roundup Cafe, 809 North Magnolia Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, and Hugh J. Rose, LLC. This is a violation of City Code Section 6261, Levy, 6262, Tax Certificate Required, 6266, Delinquency Penalties for Engaging in Business Without a Certificate, and 6278, Tax Constitutes Debt to the City. The parcel ID is 25720190010. Legal services obtained by a writ of hand delivery on 7/15/2011. We've included copies of the SunBiz report, utility report, license detail report, and the business tax certificate would be required. The summary findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy received this complaint from the one-stop permitting section of the City of Ocala, advising that the business is operating without a required business tax certificate. Officer Kennedy responded to the business location, observed they are still in business at the location, and contacted persons operating a restaurant and advised them that they are required to obtain a business tax certificate. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violation have been unsuccessful, and the violation remains. The city has staff recommendation, but there is representation here. The city has provided you all with a copy of their billing information with utilities showing that they are still in service. Their SunBiz report and photos of their location.
Okay, the representation for Rose's Roundup Cafe. Go ahead and be sworn in, please.
Pardon? Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Margaret Farley, 809 North Magnolia Avenue.
Thank you.
First of all, Margaret, what's your relation to the case?
What's my relationship to the case?
Right. because I'm saying a respondent's Hugh Rose.
I guess I own Rose's Roundup Cafe.
You own the Roundup. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know what my things are for or all about. Or what I wasn't supposed to do.
Okay, have you spoken to Inspector Kennedy about the violations?
That lady over there?
Mm-hmm.
She came to my work and gave me a piece of paper. I think she called me up on the phone, but I didn't understand what it was.
Okay, you do know you have to have a tax certificate to operate a business.
I have all that.
Well, you may have had it, but it expired, or
it probably expired, but I re-got it. But I'm closing the restaurant down, and it's only going to be open for probably another week or so.
Okay.
I just don't like it, and I don't want to do it no more, so I'm quitting.
All right.
But I didn't understand about the certificates or anything like that.
Yeah, you have to renew them every year.
Yeah,
so I
think
that's
sorry.
Maureen, what was your conversation with her? Did you tell her what it was for, the tax certificate,
mm-hmm.
what the violation was
yeah.
actually for?
Yeah, she told me.
Okay.
I have some questions. You're the owner of this business?
Yeah.
How long have you owned the business?
For about a year and a half.
And your name?
Maggie.
Who is Hugh J. Rose LLC?
He owns it.
He owns
the own plaza.
Okay. He owns the plaza,
mm-hmm.
but you own the restaurant, and you rent the restaurant from them.
Yeah.
Did he obtain your license for you previously?
No, I got it myself, yes, yeah. Like the business licensing.
When did you take over the restaurant?
In February of 2010.
And did you get a license at that time
mm-hmm.
from the city of Ocala to operate that restaurant?
I don't know. I got a license from the state or somebody. I got all the licenses on the wall, but I don't know what they are.
I don't see any evidence of a license.
I had a bookkeeper that helped get all the stuff for me.
Then you're operating the business without
no,
business
I got a
tax
license.
Certificate from the city of Ocala.
No, probably not. I went to a bookkeeper and he paid for all the stuff.
You're
and
probably
got it.
Not operating the business without a business
I don't
certificate.
Know. I'm closing in 2 weeks, but I have all the licenses that I'm supposed to have.
Well, you can't operate is my...
It is being operated, but I have all the licenses that are supposed to be
okay.
there.
Okay.
Okay.
But I think
we don't
I have
need to,
all the licenses.
We don't need to have an argument here about it. Okay.
That's the point we're trying to make.
Right.
That she doesn't apparently
she doesn't
understand.
She doesn't understand.
Yeah.
I got it. And she's closing the business in 2 weeks, so
well,
what do you want to do, right?
Well,
find them guilty.
Yeah, because they're technically operating without the license.
Mm-hmm.
And then if she does close it, then that's it. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for the city?
No.
City have any questions of the respondent?
No.
Any discussion among the board?
I think she clearly is in violation of the statutes.
Okay.
I have a question. How long does it take to get a tax certificate and all that paperwork?
It doesn't. You can just walk in across the street and get it.
Yep.
And it doesn't take 10 minutes to walk in the door and get it.
Okay.
Well, I don't even know what it is.
Well, I think you've had a couple people try to tell you, and you're trying to tell us that you've already got it, that you paid some bookkeeper to get
Chip,
it for
what
you.
What is the cost of it?
Let's just go on.
Yeah. So we've okay. So
that's
do we have a motion?
I'll move to find the.
Yeah, another second.
Okay.
In case number COM 11-1667, find them guilty of the violations as noted, and asked to impose a staff recommendation.
Okay. And it's seconded by Albertine Brown.
Yes.
Okay. All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous. So you've been found guilty of the violations. So you're ordered to pay all the delinquent business taxes due to the city at the one-stop permit center of the city of Ocala. And
go where? To go where?
Do you know where the utilities building is?
The city of Ocala where you pay electric bill?
Yes, mm-hmm. On the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Just go there
yep.
and talk to
yeah,
them?
Take care of
them. All right, cool.
And pay the administrative cost of prosecution of the case is assessed within 10 days. Failing, if you don't take care of it, and then a fine of $25 per day for all costs and fines are assessed as a lien against the business.
And what's this fine supposed to be?
Well, are we don't have an administrative cost,
what?
So there's not, you know,
oh, okay.
We're not passing anything on to you tonight.
Right.
Okay.
You're lucky.
Okay.
Alrighty. All so
right,
get with them within 10 days and get it
okay.
cleared up. All right.
All right,
next.
Yeah, just need a minute to catch up with y'all.
There.
That'll bring us to the middle of page three on the agenda, COM 110506. It's the case of the City of Ocala, Officer Dwayne Thomas versus Richard Smith and Regions Bank. Okay, so location of the City of Ocala at 1705 Northwest 18th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter, and Section 34122, abandoned or derelict vehicles. The parcel ID is 21951260000. Legal services obtained 6/30/2011 from the NOB and the NOH on the agent and the bank. We posted the property on 6/29/2011 for the NOV and the NOH. For additional correspondence, we've included a copy of the SunBiz report, FDIC info, and a copy of Les Pendens. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint, which was received and transferred from the Marion County Code Enforcement Office. Upon arrival, Officer Thomas observed the property is in violation of the city's code and is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and has an abandoned vehicle parked upon the property. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Thomas added the bank to the case. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. Responded here for them this evening. I've included copies of the photographs of the violation in your case presentation at the end. Staff has a recommendation on the bottom of page two of your presentation.
I think the only thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to notate on these administrative costs that we're not passing that along until we get it fixed next time.
Got it.
Okay, is there a respondent here, either Richard Smith or Regions Bank, in this case?
No.
Let the record reflect that there's no respondent present. Do we have any discussion amongst the board? Anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'll accept staff recommendation.
Albertine Brown makes the motion.
I'll second it.
Daniel makes the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
That'll bring us to case COM 110518, case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, City of Ocala, versus the estate of Susie Darby, care of Annie Brooks. Case location of 1833 Southwest 3rd Street. Did you get the case number?
COM 110518.
Yeah, I didn't know if she had it or not. This is for violations of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter, Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 2262-002-025. All certified mail has been returned. The property was posted on 4/7/2011 for the NOV and 7/8/2011 for the notice of hearing. A structural inspection was conducted at this property with a score of 40 points and dilapidated by David Thompson, City of Ocala Building Department. We've included additional information, a copy of the nice letter that we sent out to them, the previous cases, and the license required would be a permit required for repair or demolition. We are proceeding in this case as a repeat violator due to previous violations, which we'll show to you on page five, seven, eight, and nine of your presentation. Got the parcel affidavit of compliance. It didn't pay the previous administrative costs. I've also included in your presentation copy of the current photographs. And a copy of the structural evaluation by David Thompson. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page two of your presentation. If you'd like, I'm able to read it into the record.
I think we're fine there. Is there anybody here to represent the estate of Susie Darby? Care of Annie Brooks. Let the record reflect that there's no one here to represent the respondent. Any discussion amongst the board? We have a motion.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendations. Do you have to make a separate motion to find them a repeat violator, or is that?
We do.
I think it's part of the staff recommendation.
You can say the staff recommendation and that you found them as a repeat violator.
And accept staff recommendations and find them as a repeat violator.
Okay, but we're, I think for these, we're doing a friendly amendment, and we're going to omit number three about the administrative costs until we can get that cleared up.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Jay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimous.
Brings us to the top page four of your agenda. COM 110591. Officer Dwayne Thomas, the City of Ocala versus Browder Corporation. Browder Corporation. A case location within the City of Ocala, 1853 Southwest 3rd Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. And I have one problem there. As shown on the description of violations, that's Section 82181, the definition for a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous structure declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 22620002029. Legal services obtained on 4-8-2011 for the NOV, 7-12-2011 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 4-7-2011 for the NOV and 7-8-2011 for the NOH. A structural inspection has been completed and included in your report. The score was 45 points by David Thompson from the Building Department. The additional correspondence, we included a copy of a SunBiz report for you, for the corporation, and licenses required be a permit to required to repair or demolish the property. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown, contains junk and debris, and the structure is in dangerous condition. Additional investigation revealed the property has had many other cases in the last one in 2010 for violation of code section 3495. Officer Thomas called for a structural inspection by David Thompson, which resulted in a score of 45 points, dilapidated, requiring major work to bring the structure into compliance with all current Florida building codes. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the response remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page two of your presentation, and I'm prepared to answer any questions. Inspector Thomas is here as well.
Okay, do we have anybody here to represent the respondent, Browder Corporation? Let the record reflect that no one's here to represent the respondent. Any discussion amongst the board? Mm-hmm. We have a motion.
I move staff recommendation, the exclusion of the administrative cost.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda, middle of page four, COM 111439, which will be proceeding as a repeat violator. Officer Dwayne Thomas and the City of Ocala versus Michael Dozier and Wells Fargo Bank. It's a case location within the City of Ocala, 2309 Northwest 24th Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly, unsanitary matter. Section 82-181, the definition of a dangerous structure. Section 82-182, dangerous buildings declared a nuisance abatement required. And Section 82-443, display of building numbers. We also have a violation of Section 34-141 to 145, registration of property by mortgagees holding mortgages in default. The property parcel ID is 22444-013-00. Legal service was obtained on 6-1 and 2-2011 for the NOV and 6-30-2011 for the NOH by the agent, the bank, and the respondent. We posted the property on 6-2-2011 for the NOV and 6-29-2011 for the notice of hearing. We had a structural evaluation done here, and we're not pursuing demolition of this structure. We have also included for additional correspondence a Les Pendens SunBiz report, a copy of the judgment, and the structural report and the FDIC information for the bank. The summary of findings that Officer Dwayne Thomas responded to this property due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown and the structure unsecured in a dangerous condition. The building numbers are not displayed and the proper required registration has not been completed. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and has had a few other cases, the last one on in 2010 for violation of Code Section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. This residence is contributing to the slum and blight in this neighborhood. I do have a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation, and copies of the photographs have been included at the end of your presentation.
Are you citing this for the color of the house too?
No, sir.
Can I ask if
not yet?
I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it if it's painted.
Oh, how can you call this a house?
We are working on a fix for that. I have one question, right. Dwayne, at the bottom of page 5, this picture is up now. Is that leading into the septic tank? Not sure. Okay.
Okay, is there anybody here to represent the respondents, Michael Dozier or Wells Fargo Bank? Let the record reflect that the respondent is not represented here this evening. Any discussion amongst the board? Anybody like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that accept staff recommendation except for the administration cost. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. In this one, it's number 5.
It would be the cost of prosecution.
Okay.
In this case, it's number 5 in the staff recommendation. And we have a motion. We have a second.
I'll second.
Go ahead.
Okay, Danielle, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimous.
That brings us to the next case on the agenda, CUM 11-1563, a case involving Officer Dwayne Thomas, City of Ocala, versus Eve Noel Williams, the 1600 block of Southwest 5th Place, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly and sanitary matter. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator. The last case here was in October of 2010. The parcel ID is 2262-008-020. Legal services obtained on 7-1-2011 for the notice of hearing. We posted the property on 6-27-2011 for the notice of hearing. I've included photographs of the condition of the property at the end of your presentation. I've also included a copy of the previous board order and the affidavit of compliance. Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property has had another case in the last one in 2010 for violation of the same section, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. I have a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation.
Okay, is the respondent Eve Noel Williams present? Let the record reflect that the respondent is not present. Discussion amongst the board. Go ahead.
Since he is a second violator, how come we cannot hire the amount?
There's been other violations there, but this is the second one that's been brought to the board.
I remember that case last year.
But usually it's $25 per day. But repeat violators, we go to either 250 or 500. But 500 is the maximum.
Okay.
And then, but
so far he hasn't paid nothing, I assume.
No, he hadn't had a fine
he
yet.
He hadn't had a fine yet.
Oh, yeah.
This
they
is
have
just saying
previous liens that they haven't paid either.
They do?
No.
Okay.
But he doesn't have a fine on this case.
Right. The only thing I would note is that you're asking that everything be remedied within 7 days. And we usually do 14.
Well, we've been working this case for quite some time. I think it's a matter of us wanting to take action as soon as we possibly can to remedy the violation.
Let's stay on. I'll make a motion to approve staff recommendation, find them guilty of the violations, delete the administrative cost for prosecution, and give them 14 days to bring the property in compliance.
I'll second that. Tim Brown.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Me.
One. We have passes 4-1.
What didn't you like?
The 14 days. It doesn't take the 14 days to mow.
Yeah, but we like to keep it consistent.
I thought he said
we
so.
Give everybody 14 days.
Yeah, we haven't in the past.
Jay changed it. I didn't
yeah, Jay
know
changed
saying.
It to 14 days.
I didn't know what I'm saying.
Okay, moving right along on the agenda, CUM 11-1547, case involving Inspector James Vaux, City of Ocala versus Michael and Sean Sands. Case location at 1508 Northeast 17th Court, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other on-site land sanitary matter. The parcel ID is 26482-003-10. All certified mail has been returned. We posted the property on 6-3-2011 for the NOV and 6-27-2011 for the notice of hearing. Summary findings that Officer James Vo initially responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint. Upon arrival, observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property's front yard was cut by persons unknown, probably someone in the neighborhood based upon our experience. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. I have included photographs of the violation in your presentation at the end. And staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2.
And this house is empty, Chip?
Yes.
What violation remains right now?
Section 3495.
Weeds in the backyard, the weeds in the community.
Back and side yard.
Okay, is there the respondent here, Michael Sands, Sean Sands, to represent themselves? Let the record reflect that the respondent is not present. Do we have any discussion amongst the board? Somebody like to make the motion?
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
Okay.
Except for that part about the cost of prosecution.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passed unanimous.
Bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 11-1551, a case involving Officer Jim Vo, the City of Ocala versus Jonathan M. Rear, and BAC Home Loan Servicing LP. A case location of 2919 Southeast 13th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2782-056-011. Legal service was obtained on 6/7/8 and 9/2011 for the notice of violation, and 7/14 and 18/2011 for the notice of hearing. We legally posted the property on 6/4/2011 for the notice of violation and 7/14/2011 for the notice of hearing. Additional correspondence in the case would be a copy of the Les Pendants, a Sunbez report, and a CT Corporate letter. I've included copies of the photographs of the property in your presentation. Officer Vo is prepared to testify to any questions that you have. The summary of findings that Officer Jim Vo initially responded to this location due to a neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and the bank information was added to the case. All attempts by Officer Vo to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful and the violation remains. I have staff recommendation for you at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. And we're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, is anybody here to represent Jonathan Rearer or BAC Home Loan Servicing?
They've registered this house, they just don't cut it and clean it up.
Okay, let the record reflect that there's no one here to represent the respondent. Discussion amongst the board. Again, the only thing I see the 7-day thing, and I would really like to keep it consistent at 14.
Is somebody staying there? It looks like some stuff was moved around a bit.
Why do you want to keep it at 14? If there's nobody there and you want to push the thing along there, get it cleaned up, why we're staying with the 14?
We give everybody the same amount of time. It's just to be fair to everybody.
I think it takes 14 days to bring it to a head, but.
Especially if it's in foreclosure and you got to get a hold of the bank and they got to get somebody to do it.
What do we do if we have somebody that did
the bank's aware of this.
I mean, I agree the bank should be aware of it. Whatever y'all want to do. Let's move it along. Someone make a motion. Let's go.
Yeah, okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept staff recommendations except for the part about the cost of prosecution.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion. I'll with him, Brown.
Okay, so that's Sands, item 2. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Nay. So it passes 4-1.
Who was the nay?
I am Bill Bockwitz.
That brings us to the next case on agenda, COM 11-1558, a case involving Officer James Voth, Cityville Cala Code Enforcement Division. We'll be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator hearing. The City of Ocala versus the Estate of Richard N. Oxford, care of Edward Oxford, personal representative, and Chase Bank USA National Association. The case location is 1731 Southeast 38th Court, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. Violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsightly unsanitary matter. The parcel ID is 2954-008-012. Legal services obtained on 6-10 and 13-2011 for the NOV, 7-13 and 15-2011 for the NOH for the bank and the representative. We legally posted the property on 6-7-2011 for the NOV and 7-12-2011 for the notice of hearing. Additional correspondence in this case would be the list pendants, a SunBiz report, final judgment awarding the bank, and FDIC info and corporate report. This final judgment in this case was issued in 2009 to Chase. The summary of findings that Officer James Voth responded to this location due to neighbor's complaint and upon arrival observed the property in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and the bank was added to the case. Officer Voth observed there have been many cases at this property. The last time in 2010 where the CEB found these respondents guilty of the same violation, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. The bank has received final judgment in this case and registered the property. All attempts by Officer Voth to have the respondents remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains.
Sale happened? They got the final judgment, but no sale, huh?
No, sir. Not that we're aware of.
But if I may, why did you give him 14 days and the other people 7? Because he looks like a 7
person. I
think
it has more to do with what we get from them. If they're just like they've already registered the property and they have had it on a cut before and they just haven't cut it this time, we usually recommend a shorter period of time. If we've had less cooperation and we know they're not going to do anything, then we usually recommend a shorter period of time so that we can go in there and do what we have to do. If we have had some cooperation and they say that they're going to do it, then we have been willing to offer them additional time.
Yeah, but the last case, they are registered and they did go in and do it before, right?
They have registered, they have done it before, and they have not now. So.
Yeah, so why didn't you just give them 14 days? I'd like to just keep it consistent for the record.
Too late. We'll have to bring it back.
Okay. Is there anybody here to represent the respondents, the estate of Richard and Oxford or Chase Bank?
Sorry.
Let the record reflect that there's no one here to represent the respondent. We have a motion.
I'd make a motion to accept SACRA recommendations except for two things, one being the cost of prosecution and two, giving them 7 days to keep it consistent as much as possible with the shorter time period.
It should be the 14 days. I disagree with that, but a second. Do we have a second on that?
Yeah, I'll second.
Albertine seconds. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All against? No.
No.
How many no's we got? Just Jay and I?
Two.
Okay, now it passes 3-2.
A little conflict's good.
Yeah.
Everybody's wound up tonight.
Next
That'll
case,
bring
please.
Us to the petition section of your agenda. And the first petition is a petition to request a reduction of penalty on case CON 10-1765, a case involving Officer James Voth, City of Ocala Code Enforcement Division. I've included a copy of the petition in your presentation. I've also included a copy of a case cost sheet. And after you've had time to read the petition, staff has a recommendation.
Why don't you just tell us what your recommendation is?
Staff would have a recommendation. If you observe on the case cost sheet, they had two violations which went on 62 days, I think. 64 days at $25 a piece. The staff would recommend a reduction of the penalty by the fine by half. So we would be reducing the total amount by $1,600, which is consistent with what this board has done in the past and what the magistrate has done.
Just so the record knows, I was contacted by the people that are putting an offer in on this house. The one thing I would say is it's a short sale already. There's no money for the city, it appears. To let the fine go, maybe for just the administrative cost, at least you get the thing back on the tax rolls and get the property brought in compliance and kept in compliance. But
can we even do the administrative cost?
Yeah, because that's...
You can do the cost of the work that the city expended.
We can do anything.
Well, what I'm saying is all the other cases where I'm not being able to do an administrative cost.
Well, previous cost that was ordered.
And you're just worried.
Oh, I see.
It's okay. Not going to be...
I got you. Okay.
But this is a short sale?
That's what I was told. It's a short sale.
Well, that's what the thing says here.
The gentleman that's buying it, him and his... It's a dad and a son, and the son's house is right next to it. So,
how long is it? How do you think? I don't know how much you know about this. I mean, how long would it take for them to close on this if they acted on it?
I was told that the short sale was approved. That's the first thing I asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd give them 30 days if we do anything. But anyway, I had encouraged them to attend the hearing. And unfortunately, they're not here. So,
well, I mean, the. If we were to remove, what would we be willing to do to get it on the tax roll is the bottom line.
And you don't even know what they may be willing to do to make the sale happen. I mean, you know, we could hold our ground. They may say, well, you know what, it's a good enough deal. We'll pay it outside of closing. Or, you know, so
buy the house.
I'm just saying that this is what the taxpayer... The argument he was making to me, and it wasn't an argument, it was really a request for us to hear it favorably. So, Mr. Fogle here is even though you're benefiting him, the person that's going to put this back on the tax roll is David Young.
Right.
Are they definitely going to buy it though? I mean, is this like if we take it off and then they'll just disappear? So.
Can we make ours contingent?
You do. You can take it off for 30, and if the closing doesn't happen, and then you can revert.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's worth a shot. But the thing is, how much do you want to reduce it? Do you want to reduce it just by the fine, or do you want to do it?
I'd like to see us go down to at least the case cost. You know, if we could get our money back and get this thing rehabbed to where it's a normal house. Not a foreclosure blight. That, to me, we've accomplished.
Yeah, it's cost the city $900. So what's the tax revenue on it?
Make a motion that if they close within 30 days, code enforcement officer or the city attorney or some appropriate city official is authorized to reduce the lien to some amount. If they close within 30 days. Otherwise, it remains.
Yeah. That's
or 60 days, however much you want to
go. Yeah, we've done that before. And we've helped people get stuff closed before. It's not the first time. I remember.
What's the tax roll on it?
There is a copy of the MPCA report, but I don't believe I have a copy of the tax information.
It's probably a $2,000 tax bill. It's a.
So we recover it.
Fairly nice house in the southeast. Well, right now you got nothing.
Right. I'd be.
I mean, it's tough to make a decision on these. I see them all the time where the city's being foreclosed. I have to make a recommendation to the city. We have a previous code board lien or ship lien or something. But it's hard to make a decision without seeing what you think the appraised value is, what the first borrower has into it. For instance, if the borrower's at 100 and the house is worth 50, you know, we should probably do everything we can to get it in the hands of some purchaser.
Right.
But if the borrower has 50 and then it's worth 100, I probably wouldn't release the lien.
My knowledge of the neighborhood and the purchase price that was told to me, the purchase price was $102,000 or $104,000. I didn't write it down. My knowledge of the neighborhood that at this time, that's probably about a $100,000 house. I don't know the condition of it inside. During the 4 years ago, that was probably a $300,000 house.
Well, what do you think, 30 or 60?
I'd give them 30 days. I mean, if this is going to happen, it needs to happen.
I wrote down 30 days.
You wrote down 30 days? Well, if our team wrote down 30 days, that's what it's going to be.
So I'll make a motion to accept the petition, reduce the fine to $900 if paid within 30 days. Otherwise, it reverts back to its entire amount.
We have a motion from Jay Do we have a second? We have a second from Donald. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I mean, our lien could be foreclosed out anyway by the...
By the short sale?
Yeah, well, it's...
By the bank, I mean, they could...
The lien was foreclosed through foreclosure process. They haven't done that.
Yeah.
They're opting for the short sale instead. So if they want to get rid of our lien and give clear title, they'd have to go through the foreclosure process.
Right.
We've got leverage with the banks.
You got some leverage, but...
Unless there's just no equity there, you know, and that's...
If the bank's taking a loss, I presume there's no equity.
Go to the next case, please.
The short sale.
That'll bring us to the next case on the petition to request time extension. Sue M110279. I've provided you with a copy of the request the city would oppose this petition based upon the fact that we have been working to try and resolve the problems at this residence since 2007 without success. We have a valid board order ordering the city to take certain action.
Which case is this again?
COM 110279. I would point out that the respondents have done nothing to resolve the current conditions at this property thus far.
Is this Solomon? I'm sorry, I was writing.
Yes.
I move to deny the petition.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There you go.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda, COM 110965. We've finally been getting some involvement from Round Point Mortgage involved here. They're requesting a 10-day extension to this board's previous board order. The city would support 10 additional days in light of the work that they have already gotten accomplished there.
Do we have a motion?
Motion. Staff recommendation.
Motion from Albertine. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second from Danielle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That brings us to old business on the agenda. I would point out that COM 110567 has been removed due to their appearance here this evening. This board granted them an additional 14 days on their case. The rest of the cases, COM 110267, the rest of the cases listed on the agenda there. I can attest that these cases all have a non-compliance affidavit from the code enforcement officer, and the city would request a motion to proceed with this board and the magistrate's previous orders.
I'm noticing that COM 110965 is on that list, and we just gave them a...
Yeah, we need to change that one, too, because we just...
So that one's
afforded
gone
them. That would have been coming to you all this evening. Good call.
So that's not
so
on here.
So they've been given a 10-day extension.
Yeah. So we're deleting
COM
them.
COM 110965.
Okay. Well, I move the remaining cases be approved under the consent portion of the agenda.
We have a motion for approval by Jay. Anybody want to second that?
I will.
Donald seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass unanimous.
That finishes us up. What I will do for you guys in the future is we'll bring a case costs up to date and what we anticipate. This worksheet's very simple. It figures out the cost and totals them up. I think that in some cases they'll be less than $125, and some they'll be a little bit more than that, but we'll bring you what we have up to date, and then if we have significant cases or significant costs involved in a case at a future time, we would just opt to bring them back. But I don't anticipate a lot of problem here. I think with the form we have, we'll easily be able to provide you all with some number, and we'll work from there.
I would suggest to make it easier, just put it in the form of an affidavit and attach it along with all the other stuff, and case materials.
That's what we'll do.
And it's sworn to. Done right there.
Okay, is there any other discussion?
Chip, do you want a motion to move testimony?
I do want to make a motion to move all testimonies, presentations, and evidence presented in this evening's meeting into the record.
You have a motion to accept the evidence?
I'll second it.
Well, we need a motion.
I'll motion.
To accept? We have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I was going to bring a couple other things before we adjourn up with you all. One, the city is opting to collect false alarm fees, again, rather than the collection agency that's been doing it for the past few years. So I don't know that a lot of that will be coming your way. Our idea was to proceed mostly through the magistrate process on those. I think that the city wasn't collecting what they anticipated they'd be able to collect through the collection agency. Another item is that we may be doing more utility liens as well that may come through this board from the utilities department.
What's the utility lien for?
Just kind of a forecast.
Non-payment of utility bills?
Last year, outstanding bills were made a violation of code by the council. And so for some of the bigger stuff, maybe some of the more contentious stuff, it may come your all's way if a utility lien is filed.
Of course, you realize that when they don't pay their utility bill, they're probably just about bones up, so.
Some are, some aren't. And we all pay when they
I don't. Haven't been very lucky in finding the ones that are.
Neither has the city's utilities collection agency either, I guess. That's
okay.
All I have.
Any comments by individual board members?
Oh,
go ahead, Pat.
Let me introduce, if you would please stand up, the guy's been sitting there with the very effeminate tie.
Orange and blue, that's not offending.
That's trapping him, man. It's Chris Long. He's a new lawyer with our office. The plan is to have him serve here as a code board attorney, to be gentle.
Never.
He's a major, currently he's a major in the United States Marine Corps Reserve. He just got selected for lieutenant colonel, so he's going to be promoted here in the near future. He's a tank company commander in the Marine Corps. There's only one battalion of tanks in the Marine Corps, and he's got one of the companies, the only reserve company, correct?
Yes, sir.
The only reserve company. The Marine Corps doesn't have a lot of tanks, so he's got there's only one battalion. He's got the reserve company, so he's the only reserve company tank commander in the current Marine Corps. So just got back from 6 weeks in West. You said it was an actual country, but with West Africa. What was the country?
It's Southeast Morocco.
Morocco. So he said it was a garden spot.
Wow, pretty impressive.
Sure. Anyway, he'll be here probably next month, and I'll still be entertained. But he'll start coming periodically. So be gentle on it.
You pick up any Moroccan worry?
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
And we see you this month?
Ma'am?
We see you this month?
You'll see me periodically.
But we see you this month, the 27th?
Was on the 27th.
The 23rd?
The 23rd.
Sunshine Law stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll tell you his joke.
Yeah.
He'll tell
I think I heard it before.
It's not a joke, it's a true story.
Oh, he'll tell you his true story.
It's my favorite true story.
I thought it was true.
I know you've heard it before, probably two or three times, but you can laugh at you.
Do I have to come?
There's not that much new in Sunshine Law.
I didn't think so.
Jay, you only get something to drink and to eat, I heard.
I'm not that hungry.
You'd rather go home and have some cold beer.
Might mention that I'll handle the Contractors Board of
Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
Contractors Board of Appeals.
Board of Examiners and Appeals tonight. Very well.
No, they didn't handle it. They are.
I know. You are it, and you handled it. I think this is the first case that's been brought that way.
That's the first one.
That's the second one.
Second one?
Yeah, we had one about 5-6 years ago. I can't remember that because I was confused when we got it back then. Maybe it was not you weren't here.
We abolished our Board of Contractors.
Yeah.
We abolished a separate board because they just didn't meet that often. It wasn't necessary for them to meet, and so we just chose, and the code board met all the time, so we chose to make the code board that board.
So you're also the Dangerous Structures Board.
Y'all did a good job with that. I mean, you almost could have said, hey, he's stipulating to this agreement. We could have, avoided the whole.
I think part of our residence about that was that DBPR wanted a hearing, wanted a record, and wanted copies of the final.
Well, yeah, but if he stipulates to everything, I mean, that's in effect, he's stipulating to the punishment in his hearing.
And the other problem that I had was that the attorney for the other side was going to be here this evening. I didn't know if they were or weren't. And as it turns out, he didn't show up. But he's still not satisfied with the action.
But he doesn't get to take the place of the city. The city's the ones prosecuting.
Couldn't agree more.
Mr. Rothstein has a course of action against Ballard Building for whatever he wants to do.
Yep.
And from what I've heard, you've sued a high heaven, okay? But.
I'm just saying.
Right.
and that's on the record.
I know, I can tell you from the conversations we've had, they're not done with.
I was shocked that they weren't here.
Yeah, Central State.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be cheap entertainment.
Is he the Larry Ballard from
Yes.
years ago? That's
but the other guy is if
that's not the son. No, Dr. Rothstein is an interesting man.
Yes.
Dr. Rothstein is the doctor over here, but his brother is a lawyer.
Right.
In Daytona.
No, the disbarred lawyer in Daytona.
Is he? That's not how he represents himself.
Well, he got readmitted.
Maybe that's the way he
did it.
He's been readmitted then, but he was disbarred about 8-9 years ago.
So you would say previously disbarred.
Previously disbarred.
Counselor.
Previously he's a real joy to deal with.
I've dealt with it.
Get in.
I showed up to defend the city in a case that he was supposed to be the plaintiff's lawyer in, and somebody else showed up, and the judge says, "Where's Mr. Rothstein?" He just got disbarred.
That's very cute.
Wow.
Well, we may have another one coming up soon.
All right. Yeah, but it went real smooth.
But Rothstein's not going to be involved, correct?
No, sir.
Okay. Because I would, if they had have come tonight and tried to interject themselves in the process, I would hope that we would have cut them off from that. Because
I
don't.
Them to speak there allowed.
I don't think, we got to, at some point in time, if you don't have a voice at the table, you don't have a voice at the table, okay?
I'm just thankful it went the way it went.
Yeah.
It's cut and dry. I
think Ron did a good job, and you did a good job on that one, so.
I think the estate of Richard Oxford we grew up with Ricky Oxford.
That has got to be him.
And his son died in that fire, that horrible fire. I'm sure he's a competitor, I guess.
No, I actually taught Rick in the barber business and set up his barber shop for him.
I went to grow up with Ricky, and
I did too.
Unfortunate, youthful death. Refereeing basketball games. So.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Still a small town.
It is.
Yeah.
Very small.
All right.
See you all next month.
Thank you, guys.
Meeting's over. Meeting adjourned. Just making sure everybody got to say what they needed to say.
Hey, fast cop.
Hey, everybody. I've seen you again.
You beat me. Thank you.
The best man on it. I just have rooms. I'm not going to do anything.
Of metal tonight over stories. She chopped it all up. She did everything. She did all that.
This one, even though I was a naval cabin guy, the West Point guy,
I got
on
my license. I got on my license.
Because you may get it back.
But she still said she's going to still be open for 2 weeks.
Right.
So for a rain,
you have got to have a
license. Rain, she go back.
Stop this
yes, please.